Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you for tuning in here at 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. Tonight's program is going to feature a call-in chat with Carolyn Roth. She is the heart and soul of the modern country Newgrass Quartet, New Blue. And they're going to be performing on April 22nd as part of the Chicago Street Theater's long-running one-night jam concert series. Their sound is part traditional, part new, and, well, lots of harmonies and instrumentation. We're going to get to know the band. We're going to get to hear their music in just a few minutes as Carolyn joins us on Midwest Beat.
Consideration for programming is provided by State Farm agent John Yelkich, serving insurance needs for Hobart and the surrounding areas. There, when things go wrong, here to help life go right. More information is available at john4insurance.com.
Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Thank you for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio. Tonight's program features a live call-in chat with Carolyn Roth. She is the voice and the heart of a modern country, Newgrass, or Bluegrass, your terminology, quartet called New Blue. And you're going to learn all about this band. You're going to hear their music. You're going to find out where you can see them here in the region on April 22nd. I think we should start off with a song and let the music do the talking before we bring Miss Ruth on. Let's go with a tune that opens up their latest album, Vagabonds. This is an educational tune because it'll teach you that sometimes you can't rebuild those bridges you've burned.
I tried and tried to make you mine, but you wanted to be free. Said your heart felt tired and satisfied with loving only me. Longed for greener pastures, spaces open wide. But only loneliness was waiting on the other side. Well, you had your chance, but it's too late. God knows you could have stayed. Now you're face to face with consequence and the bet that you have made. Well, I'm sorry I'm the one to teach this lesson. It's a cold hard fact, you can't build back the bridges that you've burned.
Listening to Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges, your host, and not only do we give you great music, we give you life lessons, like the cold hard fact that you can't build back those bridges you've burned. And we all know we've burned a lot of bridges in our time, haven't we? Joining me now is Carolyn Roth. Carolyn is the voice behind that wonderful song and the voice behind New Blue. And you can keep up with them at newblue.com. newblue.com. And it's new, N-U-B-L-U, newblue.com. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, and I got to tell you, I'm loving this album, Vagabonds.
Well, thank you so much. We think a whole lot of it. We put a lot of heart and soul into all our music, and we're just happy to hear that other folks are enjoying it, too.
Now, you guys are going to be coming, I think it's the first time, to Northwest Indiana. On April 22nd, Paul Brown has you coming as part of his one-night jam series at the Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso. Is this your first time in this area?
It is. We have, we've played a couple of things up in northern Indiana.
Okay.
Like severe northern Indiana. But just a few times up there. So I'm looking forward to getting back to Indiana and playing a little bit more music.
Now, are you on a national tour at this point? And the reason I ask is, as everything I look up on you guys, it seems like you're always on the road. And then, of course, we listen to the song Gypsies on Parade, in which you're talking about living life out of a suitcase and waking up in a new town every day. I've got to think that you guys are road warriors.
We are. We are on tour year-round. We take we usually take a couple, 3 weeks at the end of December for Christmas. Well, prior to that, we take a few days off for Thanksgiving, most years. And then we start back up generally about the second to third week in January with a bluegrass cruise to the Bahamas.
Ooh.
And from that point, we're all over the map for the rest of the year.
Now, you're based in North Carolina when you are home, correct?
We are, and I'm actually home right now for a change.
Wow.
I've got had a few days off. We played... We played a more local venue this past weekend, and we'll be heading out Friday to go to Kentucky and West Virginia. And coming up in we're playing Merle Fest in the week after that, and then we're taking back off way away, heading back to the West Coast. We're going to do some things out there in between. I think that's in between.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, no. We go to Valparaiso first, and then we go out with.
Okay, yeah, that's right. 22nd is just around the corner. It's like you wouldn't know it because it's been snowing here up until yesterday.
Oh,
see,
no.
You wouldn't know that it's April already. So we get very confused geographically and temperature wise out here.
Oh my, I love the snow, but I like it to snow and then go away very fast.
Yeah, I like snow too, but not in April, not in the Chicago market.
No.
Let's talk a little bit about how you guys came together. Now, what's interesting about New Blue is that it's anchored by a husband-wife team. You and Daniel Ruth are the main mainstays, the foundation of this group. You put it together. Tell me how this all happened. Were you personal partners or musical partners first? How did this work?
Well, we were musical. We were bandmates first.
Okay.
I had a contemporary Christian band at the time, and it needed a bass player. And Daniel and I originally met at Walmart. He was the grocery manager at our local Walmart. And he had come to lunch at my family's restaurant where I work. And he was getting ready to leave. And I knew that he played music. And I said, "Hey, I'm looking for a bass player." And he said, "Well, I don't play bass, but I'll learn." Which at the time, he was playing banjo in a bluegrass band.
Mm-hmm.
And he did learn. And we played Christian rock together for a while. And then we migrated over to 80s rock for a little stint, and then I convinced him after about a month of nagging him that we needed to start a bluegrass band, and New Blue was born. So our relationship started as bandmates. It developed into best friends, and somewhere along the line after that, we ended up in love and getting married.
Well, they say God works in mysterious ways, and it all started
yes,
at
does.
A diner. What's interesting about, you mentioned that he was going to be the bass player, but I've seen pictures where you are playing stand-up bass.
I am. He played bass when we were doing Christian rock and rock, and then when we started a bluegrass band, he switched to guitar. And I did not play bass in the beginning. We started in 2003. And I didn't start playing bass. I didn't learn to play bass until 2005.
Okay.
Now, so it was well into it.
When did were the two guys that are with you now, were they Levi and Clint, were they always with this group since 2003 when it formed?
Well, actually, I've got new information for you. We have two new guys in the band now.
Okay.
We've had several band changes over the last 2 years. When we started out, Levi, who was the banjo player, played with us for 10 years. He started with us when he was 14 years old. He played with us for 10 years, and he actually stepped down in 2016. Again, he had been on the road with us through all of his formative years, his teenage years. He was missing out on a lot of stuff at home with his friends because he was always out playing music, and the road just finally got a little bit much for him, and he wanted to take a little break.
Okay.
So after spending 200 days a year out, that was certainly understandable. We had a mandolin player then that had been with us for 4 years, and then after they left, TJ and Clint took their places, and now the guys that we have are Calder Baker on banjo and Justin Harrison on mandolin.
Okay. How long have they been with you then, the last few months?
Justin started in December, and Calder just started last month.
Okay.
So we just had our first shows with Calder. It's a lifestyle that's not cut out for everybody.
Right.
Even though there are many, many great musicians, and there's 1,000, 10,000 great regional and local bands, the schedule that we keep is very grueling. And some people try it for a while, and then they just figure out that they're not suited to be going away from home that long.
It's rough. I mean, you travel with Daniel, so you guys are together. Yes. But when you're not and you're away from your wife or your kids, it is a rough road.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of long days and long nights. And we're just thankful to have had the great musicians play with us through the years that we have and the guys we've got in the band now because, you know, we couldn't have done it without them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been an integral part in forming this band and helping us to progress and putting us where we're at now.
We've had several country artists on this program over the years, and you have a connection with a guy that I had on not just too long ago, Mr. Jimmy Fortune of the Statler Brothers.
Yeah.
You have a song that he wrote that you guys record, and I'd like to play it here in a second. But did he write the song for you guys? Did you find it somewhere along the way? Have you communicated with Jimmy and on your take on this?
We were pitched the song in 2011. One of Jimmy's co-writers on this song was Tony Lopesinski. He was lead guitar player for Train. And he and Jimmy co-wrote this song, and Tony died in 2011 of cancer. We were first pitched this song then, and it didn't make it onto the album for various reasons. It wasn't the fit for that particular project. We got it late in the game, and we were pretty well set. And it just kind of got slid to the back burner, and it wasn't until we started gathering songs for Vagabond that I suggested we pull that song back out because it had always stayed in my head and in the back of my mind. I really loved it, and I really wanted to sing it. So we pulled it back out and got ready to put it on the album, and her publicist was looking at it one day, and he said, "Did y'all know that Jimmy Fortune co-wrote this?" And I'm like, "Duh, no, I didn't think to look at that." Well, it just so happened that Jimmy and New Blues shared a publicist.
Okay.
So they put that connection together and introduced us, and Jimmy came and sang on the album, on this song, and it was just a great experience being in the studio with him, and we've developed a friendship since then, and just a great guy, phenomenal singer, and just so happy that we got to have this experience and record this song with him.
Right. Yeah, he's one of the best tenors out there today, and sadly, a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing, and he's just the greatest guy, too. You won't find a better person.
Right.
With a bigger heart than Jimmy Fortune.
Well, I'm glad that little small voice in your head told you to play this or record this song for this album. So we're going to feature it for my listeners now. We'll be back with Carolyn right after this. This is Still Small Voice off Vagabond's New Blue.
I hear voices deep inside me. trying to tear me down. They wanna break me, but I'm not listening. I will hold my ground. And through the chaos in my mind, I hear you breaking through. Still small voice, talk louder. It's your turn to speak. Set me free. So let me hear you scream. Let me hear you scream.
Let me hear you scream. I'll bet you do that during the concert, don't you? Don't you yell that out?
Maybe.
This is Midwest Beats. I'm talking with Carolyn Ruth. She is the voice and the foundation here, part of the foundation of New Blue, and that's NU-BLU, and you can find them at newblue.com. They're going to be performing April 22nd, Chicago Street Theater, a very intimate show produced by our good friend Paul Brown for the One Night Jam concert series. And I like to call that song the Jiminy Cricket song because it's all about listening to that positive voice that you needed to scream over some of those negative influences in life. And Jimmy Fortune of the Statler Brothers helped to co-write that. And Jimmy is a very spiritual man. And it doesn't sound like it's got that message, but sometimes you need to have messages in your music. And I find that to be the fact on most everything on this album, Carolyn. Is that an intention with the group, with you and Daniel, when you pick the music and say, we've got to say something with the music?
Well, it's like Still Small Voice. Like you said, people take a spiritual connotation off of it, but some people don't. Everybody seems to get the positivity of the song, but it means a little something different to everybody that hears it, and that's what I think is the coolest part of that particular tune. As for the rest of them, all of our music, we choose music that has an emotional connection with us.
Okay.
So as far as purpose, Yeah, it does all have a purpose because it speaks to us personally, and it evokes an emotion, whether that emotion is sorrow or and regret or jubilation or, you know, relaying a bad experience that you've had and hoping somebody else can learn from that. So everything we do when we pick out music is on an emotional level, and just hope that other people get that out of it too.
Now, do you guys write music as well? Because I know you've gotten some great songwriters on this album. Of course, you do two wonderful covers, Waylon's Good Hearted Woman, which I have a hard time when people cover Waylon Jennings because to me he's one of the best, but you won me over with the first listen on that. And you also cover Bob Dylan, Knocking on Heaven's Door, two excellent songs. But nine other songs on here are basically original first-time recordings. How many of them have you written, or have you written any of them?
We didn't write any on this CD. Daniel and I do some writing, but what we have found is there are so many fantastic songwriters out there, and we usually get pitched around 100 to 120 songs every time we put out the call that we're doing a new CD from various writers all around the country, some of them professional writers and some of them just amateur writers that send us material, and we listen to every one of those songs that we get. And what we have found is, with all that good music out there, you find those songs that you just can't bear to let go of. You mm-hmm. just have to get them. You have to record them. And if you don't get them that first go round, there's at least a possibility that you might not get a second chance, because they're going to keep plugging those songs to other artists, and somebody else may pick it up, and then it's not an original anymore. It's a cover.
Right. Have you had that happen where on past albums where you've passed on a song? Let's say Still Small Voice, which you almost passed on. You passed on the first time. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that where you want to slap yourself in the head and say, why did I pass on that?
Yeah, there have been a few.
Okay.
There have been a few. And then there's been ones that we've passed on that were great songs, but they just didn't fit New Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And our sound and what we're doing, and they've gone on to be number one hits for other artists.
Okay. What is...
Which I love to see. I love to see that. I'm glad that good songs get a home, and another artist that means something to them gets to put that out.
What is the popularity of, or why do you feel the popularity of Americana music is so strong today? I mean, we saw it after the Oh Brother soundtrack came out. It kind of mm-hmm. picked up a little bit in the Mumford and Sons and groups like that, Yvette Brothers. And then suddenly it seemed to like taper off, and now it seems like bluegrass, or as we're calling it, newgrass, mm-hmm. is suddenly red hot again.
I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that bluegrass is most closely related to country music, and country music has swung so far towards pop now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love country music. I adore country music. But country music has grown so far away from the older country, from the simpler country. It's taken on a whole new life. And it's almost, I don't know how to describe it, it's changed a lot, changed
right.
a whole lot over the years. And I think that the Americana and the bluegrass, the more acoustic sound, I think that people are starting to enjoy that because it reminds them of more of what country used to be in the early days. It's a simpler music. It's, for lack of a better term, more bonding music, in that you can go to these events, these Americana festivals and the bluegrass festivals and or the theater shows, and you can directly relate to those artists. You can jam with those artists. You can sit down with them and have real conversations. You can develop friendships and relationships that will last a lifetime, not just buy a ticket and go sit in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's over, walk out the door and never have any one-on-one personal contact with those artists. And I think that's really appealing to a lot of people.
I would agree with that.
That aspect of connection is really important.
And the traditionalists, those of us that loved country music back in the old days and just can't get our head around some of the new stuff. I mean, Jason Aldean may be a great artist, but he includes rap in it. And Carrie Underwood, I mean, I loved Carrie. She was so pure when she came out, and now she's, I don't know, she's like popped out, I mean, as far as the pop sound. It's like, why? Why are they leaving their roots? And you know, when so many people obviously are wanting to hear the roots music, which is why, as you said, the new grass stuff is kicking in.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's a great trend. At the bottom of it, at the end of the day, though, there's room for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beautiful thing about music. It can be so diverse, and there's an audience for every form of it. There's somebody that's going to like a little bit of everything. It's a wide open field. Just, you can be artistic. You can be true to yourself and do your thing, and you'll find an audience.
Right. Well, it's interesting because Jim Peterick, who's a very good friend of mine for many decades now, and I know that you guys have worked with him in some capacity because Paul mentioned that's how he discovered you. His album, The Songs, a bluegrass version of Eye of the Tiger, for goodness sake. I mean, you gotta love that. And I told Jimmy, I said, you know, the first time I listened to this, I said, I don't know, but it grew on me really fast. And I enjoy it.
Where do you think he got that idea?
No. How do you know Jim? How do you know Jim? How did you guys meet?
The one of the pluggers in Nashville that I came to know very early on in this whole new blue experience, a man by the name of Cheryl Blackman. He's a publisher and a plugger. And the first song he sent me when we were 2011, when we were gathering material for the blue disc, he sent me, cold contacted me and sent me a CD of original tunes, supposedly. And the first cut on that CD was Eye of the Tiger.
Wow.
And I'd never met this man. I didn't know who he was. I just knew he was from Nashville, and he was sending me material for my CD. And his telephone number was on there, and I called him and told him who he was. And he's like, yeah, did you get the CD? And I said, you sent me Eye of the Tiger. And he said, well, yeah, I know. I said, I can't cut Eye of the Tiger. And he said, well, why not? I said, it's Eye of the Tiger. I can't cut Eye of the Tiger.
Can't mess with that one.
And as it turns out, Jim and Cheryl are very good friends. And so one day, Jim was in Nashville for some reason, and Cheryl called me and said, y'all are going to be in town. Jim's here. I want you to meet him. So we got to go meet him, and there you go. That his history was made. We got to meet Jim, and
wow,
that was I was so excited to meet him. He is just the best guy.
Yeah,
and I love his hair.
Oh, the purple hair and the boots. Yeah, you gotta love his ensemble. Jim is a walking rock star. No matter where he goes, he can go to the 7-Eleven, and he's going to be a rock star. I love that guy.
He is, and he we actually did talk about recording Eye of the Tiger, and he encouraged us. He said, yeah, I want you to cut it. Go do it. So that's still kind of on the back burner, too. We're holding on to that and that idea in our head. And don't be surprised if Eye of the Tiger shows up on the new blue CD.
All right. We'll be looking for that. April 22nd, you'll be here in Valparaiso at Chicago Street Theater for the One Night Jam series. Now, you have a new album, obviously, Vagabonds, that we're playing songs from. And you have five other albums. Now, how much of the new material are you working into the show? Because obviously you want to sell that album. But do you still feel the older music holds up enough to keep it in the shows?
We do. We do a variety. We're doing a lot from Vagabonds Vagabonds, the one before that was All the Way, and just prior to that was an album called, a CD called 10, that was our 10th anniversary CD. And so we're doing a lot of material off those three. There are a few songs in the previous albums or on the previous albums that are still a staple for us. Songs that fans just love. We love playing. And so we keep those in for the folks that are longtime listeners and still enjoy those pieces. And we also throw in just some straight, hard-driving, traditional Carolina bluegrass.
All right. We were talking.
So we kind of try to we kind of try to throw a little something in for everybody.
How long is a typical show for New Blue?
We typically do either two 45 to 50 minute sets or just a straight hour 15 to an hour and a half. It depends on what the venue wants.
All right. On this show, do you know if there's going to be an opening act or is it all you all night?
I don't think so. I think it's just us. See, what I tell everybody is I don't do the booking, and sometimes I'm not even sure where the bus is taking me.
You put a lot of faith in people, don't you?
I do. It's my responsibility to be on the bus on time and be prepared to get off the bus when I'm supposed to and go in and play the show.
Okay.
And I love it that way.
As I said earlier, a lot of your songs seem to carry a message, and I like the fact that you feel people can interpret these messages in their own unique way. Right now, a topic of discussion, a hot topic in America, and actually the whole world, is diversity. People seem to be judging everybody for how they act, where they're from, how they speak, where they worship. And I think a song kind of underscores the importance of universal brotherhood and just looking past the differences. And you know the song I'm talking about, don't you? A Lot More Love. And this song is just amazing. Can you tell me a little about this before we play it? Because I really want the listeners to hear the words.
Hey, that's another song that we were pitched by Cheryl Blackman about four albums ago. And it just we didn't have room for it on the CD then, and so it made its way back around. I've always loved this song. I love the message in this song. I think that music is the great unifier across all boundaries. I think that's something that we can all come together on and put our differences aside and just enjoy the music, the artistry, the camaraderie that goes with it. And this song, I love this song. This song is a very emotional song for me because I feel like it is very poignant right now. I feel like it's a message that people not only need to hear, but they need to embrace. And let's tear down the walls. Let's reach across the aisle. Let's look at things from a more open mind and remember that we're all the same. We really are all the same. At the end of the day, we're all the same. It doesn't matter how we believe, what we're standing up for. If we can start looking at each other from that perspective and not all the other stuff that's going on, I think we could be a lot more at peace with each other and with ourselves.
I agree. Well, let's ask the listeners to pay attention to the words of this song. I think it'll strike your heart. We'll be back in just a moment with Carolyn Ruth.
He's a member of the NRA, gun rack in his pickup truck. She's a soccer mom with a rainbow sticker on the back of her bug. Red lights sitting side by side, they both shake their head and laugh, roll their eyes and can't believe there's people like that. But everybody's got a heart that bleeds. Everybody's got a road to walk. Everybody's got a breath they breathe, a dream they dream, no matter how small. And everybody needs a hand to hold when they don't feel strong enough. We could all use a little less hate and a lot more love. On the desert sand and on city streets, and lives are torn and lost over some belief. No, you can't come in here, 'cause you just don't look the same. I can't help but think, does it really have to be that way? 'Cause everybody's got a heart that bleeds. Everybody's got a road to walk. Everybody's got a breath they breathe, a dream they dream, no matter how small. Everybody needs a hand.
But everybody's got a heart that bleeds. Everybody's got a road to walk. Everybody's got a breath they breathe, a dream they dream, no matter how small. Everybody needs a hand to hold. They don't feel strong enough. We could all use a little less hate and a lot more.
A lot more love. It's something the world needs a lot of right now in this turbulent times. And I love the reference in the very beginning about the soccer mom with the rainbow sticker and the truck guy with the NRA sticker, because both of those are currently in the headlines right now. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the NRA. There's a lot of talk about the rainbow the sexual issues going on right now and rights and freedoms. And it's hard to believe that, again, fate has a way of dealing the cards where they need to be dealt. You turned this song down 4 years ago. Couldn't fit it on an album, but it's like something said, now is the time, because by the time this album comes out, this will be the hot topic.
It's amazing. We found not just with song selection, but in the path of our career, that, you know, sometimes things that we want to do right the second work out for the best when we can't do them. We've learned that things happen. If you're just patient, things happen in their own time and when they need to happen to have the most impact.
Mm-hmm. With the recording, let's talk a little about the production. Were you guys involved hands-on with the production? I know this is a lot of a DIY kind of project with you guys. You're very hands-on with every aspect of your career.
It is. The studio that we record at is Red Squared Audio, and it is right here at home. It's not an in-home studio. We actually have a studio here that's a separate building. So it's all recorded here. Daniel engineers and mixes it and masters it, and we produce it ourselves.
Wow.
So everything is done right here on property. It's completely self-reliant.
What's the hardest part of being a creative partner and a marriage partner? Can you guys separate sometimes a husband, wife, and songwriting music partners? Does it get confused?
Actually, it's a different dynamic. Everything is just kind of one for us. That we both are so minded on our goals and our expectations, and we each play our roles in that. Daniel is a very analytical, very regimented, and just on point guy. He's the marketing guy. He gets all that, and I'm sort of the scatterbrain, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
He's very creative, but I'm very creative in kind of a different way. And so we play off of each other's strengths and weaknesses, which is very beneficial since we are together almost all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, most of us get to go to work and get away from our spouses and significant others. You guys live 24/7. You work together. You create together. Yep. Then you have to make dinner together and wash the dishes together. I mean, at some point, you've got to have that separatism. And how do you make it work? I mean, so many people can't make marriages work, let alone business relationships. We see that with bands breaking up all the time. But yet you guys are a lot like Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, in fact, that you can do it all. And I just think that that's amazing and admirable.
Well, I think that there's a couple of components to that. One being that we truly were best friends. long before we got married. And I always tell everybody, when you're dating somebody, when you start out with that physical attraction before you actually build that bond, you go on a date and you're always trying to impress the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like this guy. Well, I'm not going to eat too much because it might make me fat and he might not like me, or I might do something I shouldn't do. So your own pins and needles, and you're trying to put your best foot forward. When it's your best friend, you don't care. You know, if something doesn't look good on your best friend, you tell them. You don't worry about hurting their feelings. You tell them, your best friend. That's what best friends do, and that's where Daniel and I started. And I think that makes a big difference in how we approach situations and how we deal with things and how we relate to each other, because that's always the foundation of our relationship. And we are both redheads.
I noticed that.
We are extremely stubborn and extremely hot-headed. And we know that about each other, and we accept it, and we respect it. Now, we have some knockdown, drag-out arguments sometimes. When we argue, the earth shakes. Some of those earthquakes in California, those weren't really earthquakes. Daniel and I were there.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you know, we still love and respect each other, and we're still best friends. So I think that's what makes it work, and that's why there's give and take.
You had an experience when you guys first got the band going. You were sick, and how did you guys get through all that? That had to be a scary time. You're just getting things started, and all of a sudden now you can't travel, you can't work. You had a series of strokes, I understand, or a stroke?
Yes, I did. That took everybody by surprise, and thankfully we had just started the band like a month and a half, 2 months, before I had those strokes. I had those strokes on Thanksgiving Day of 2003. And I'm very thankful that they happened when they did and where they did, because I was already in the hospital in the emergency room with a team of neurologists standing over the top of me at the moment that it happened. So I couldn't have been in a better place at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very difficult time. I lost my speech and I lost my entire right side. My speech was the first thing that came back, and it was still followed by lots of physical therapy and occupational therapy to learn how to do everything again and learn how to use things the way they were supposed to be used. And thankfully, at the time, we weren't touring like we are now. We had just started the band. We were just kind of getting our legs underneath us, settling in with band members, and so we wanted a place that it caused a huge issue as far as playing shows,
mm-hmm.
because there were very few shows in those days. And when we started venturing out and sticking our toe in the water, so to speak, to get out there on the big scene a little bit more, by that time I had recovered to the point that I could go and do those things and be an integral part of what was going on.
Your voice is so pristine and so strong and so harmonious to hear you on these albums. One would never guess that you had such a struggle. It's amazing that you were able to bounce back like that.
It is, and I learned so much about myself and about life going through that. I was one of the world's worst at when I would get in a bad situation or when I would be feeling down or sad about something. And more than once I made the comment, I hate my life. And it took almost losing my life, literally, to realize that I don't hate my life. I might hate my circumstances at the moment, but there's nothing about my life that I hate. I'm thankful for every minute. And that's what I tell people, you know, be thankful. Be thankful for everything. Be thankful for the small things, the little things that you don't think about every minute of your life, like picking up your foot off the floor and taking a step.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up a fork and eating, those things are kind of mindless to most of us. And when you get to a point that you have to concentrate on every move that you make with every limb of your body, you have a whole new appreciation for those small things and for life. And so that's taught me a lot. I've never since then said I hate my life, and I never will. I never will.
Did that inspire some of the original music that you guys had written early on?
It did. It really did. The song that I call my stroke song, my recovery song, is a song that we recorded on the blue disc written by Becky Buller and Tony Rackley, and it's called Make Me Whole Again. And that was a tearjerker even for me.
Okay.
It's a beautiful tune. It's very slow and melodic, and it's always really spoken to me. It starts out with drowning in silence, too loud to speak, too loud to sleep. And that's kind of how I felt when I was in the midst of those strokes. I was drowning, but I couldn't speak. I couldn't tell anybody what was happening. And it puts you in a very dark place when you feel isolated within your own mind and within your own body. It's still a tough song to listen to when I let myself think about it when I'm singing it. I have to take myself out of that moment when I perform it and just go somewhere else so that it doesn't choke me up.
Is that a song that we'll be hearing April 22nd at Chicago Street Theater, do you think?
Well, if you'd like to, I can certainly arrange it.
All right. There's so many songs that I just recently discovered you guys. I can't believe you've got this wealth of music out there, and I'm just turning on to. I've been going online and listening to songs and clips and videos and the new Vagabonds album, and it's just... You need to get higher on the radar, and I'm going to do our part here to try and do that. And I do encourage our listeners to check you out, Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso, a great intimate venue. April 22nd is the One Night Jam series, and it's just amazing. Let's play another song.
Okay.
One that really touches my heart, and we've only got about 10 minutes left here, but 640 Battlefield Drive is one.
Yeah.
Again, we are on the precipice of war at any waking moment now with all this talk of nuclear this and nuclear that and everybody mm-hmm. fighting. Again, you don't sometimes appreciate what we've got until you really get taken to the edge of the cliff. And this song is about a mother who loses not one, but two sons. And it's just moving. Can you tell me a little bit about this and we'll play this?
Again, Cheryl Blackman sent, he sent me this song, and he said, this is the song, and he's right. It was a real tearjerker. I loved it the first time I heard it. And I can't help but think when I heard it the first time, I have two sons.
Hmm.
Two sons that are in that age bracket that if the draft were enacted again, my sons would most likely be going.
Right.
And that makes me think about, and this song makes me think about all the families who have to say so long to their sons, their daughters, and watch them march away and have no idea whether they're going to come back or not, or in what condition they're going to come back. And it's really heart-wrenching. This song for me is as much or more about the mother at home
mm-hmm.
and bringing to light that it's not just the military that serves, it's their families too. They serve and they sacrifice, just like these guys and gals that are out there on the front lines defending us and protecting this country. It's about the families, too, and I think that we should always remember that and take them into consideration, as well as our service personnel.
Well, let's play this now. This is off the Vagabonds album. It's New Blue. My guest is Carolyn Ruth, and she is the singer on this 640 Battlefield Drive.
Soldiers waiting on the bus. Dave's just like his daddy was. He loves a good fight. John's just like his mama. He does what he thinks is right. And their mama sees the strength in their eyes. She waits till they drive away, and then she falls apart. Just like any other. Everybody's got their own idea of what war is. But to her, it's a battle she fights on her knees. She prays her baby boys will be all right. She prays for peace on earth. At 6:40, said, so she didn't open it. Your country and your president sincerely regret to inform you your sons aren't coming home. There'll always be two empty chairs where they belong. It's just like any other Sunday morning. Most of the world is still asleep, and everybody's got their own idea of what war is. But to her, it's a battle she fights on her knees. She prayed her baby boys would be all right. She prayed for peace on earth at 6:40. She read were bittersweet, and through her tears it said, your son Jonathan will receive the Purple Heart. He'll be released on Monday. He's been honorably discharged. David gave the greatest sacrifice. We'll mail his things to 640 Battlefield.
...640 Battlefield Drive. A song that can't help but move you. Dedicating that to all the families with military personnel serving now and praying they all come home. My guest has been Carolyn Ruth of New Blue, a band that's coming April 22nd to Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso for the One Night Jam series. Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us and for all the wonderful music.
Thank you so much. I have enjoyed it.
I look forward to seeing you.
Are you going to be there?
I'm going to do my best to be there. Yes, I am.
Great. That is wonderful. I hope I get to see you and meet you face to face.
All right. I want to leave now with something on an upbeat. Again, I mentioned Waylon and Jesse. I had the opportunity in 1988 to be a publicist for a couple of their shows and do the hospitality for them, and got to play pinochle with them on their tour bus. And I found Waylon Jennings to be one of the most amazing human beings I ever met. And, of course, Jesse Coulter is just a fine lady. And you have covered Good-Hearted Woman. So we're going to close with that. And I bid you safe travels as you get ready to head back to the road, as road warriors always do.
Thank you so much.
My best to Daniel and the band. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
New-Blue, NU-BLU.com, where you can keep up with them at.
Been a long time forgotten. Dreams that just fell by the way. And the good life he promised ain't what she's living today. But she never complains about the bad times or the bad things he's done. She just talks about the good times they've had and all the good times to come. 'Cause she's a good-hearted woman in love with